Next man up, 102.5, the game. Happy Wednesday, Nashville. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. What a day yesterday in Titans land. We got off the air just after the announcement that Brian Callahan was giving up play calling. Thought that would be the news of the day. But then a few hours later, Jarvis Brownlee traded to the Jets. Corey, glad to have you here. We got a lot to get to today.
Oh, it was an eventful day. An eventful, you know, in really like all around the NFL, for week three, the level of activity is shocking.
Right.
I mean, the level of panic or, and you know, in the NFL has been a very patient league for a long time. Those days appear to be over. We're hitting like NBA, NHL levels right now of just knee-jerk reactions.
Right. Jackson Dart starting over Russell Wilson, which I get. It's like Dayball.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah. I saw a text yesterday. I think it was Matthew Nashville said that Callahan giving up play calling and Dayball starting Jackson Dart are both for the same reason. They're trying to save their job, and absolutely, this is their last opportunity to do so.
Yeah. I mean, like, why Callahan gave up play calling? Was it his choice? I don't know. But all that matters is winning and losing.
Right.
And so if this happens, regardless of who told him, if it was his choice or not, if they win, he saves his job. If he doesn't, he loses his job, which is kind of the track he was down anyway. So we can, you know, pick it all apart all we want. The results in the end are all that really matter. And you know, with you saw what you saw from Russ.
Right.
It was a bad choice to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Jameis was better or not, but I mean, instead of Russ, let Russ cook. I mean, Russ is cooked. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here?
I mean, he's been done for 5 years now. I mean, he had his moments in Pittsburgh last year, but
you know, for a long time I thought Russ was like a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, with the career he was having in Seattle. What do we talk about quarterbacks? That there are a handful of quarterbacks who are good quarterbacks, but with great teams around them are very good. And maybe he falls into that category.
Yeah.
He was on a very good team, and he was very good with a very good team. When the Titans were very good, Ryan Tannehill looked very good. When the Titans became not so good, he looked not so good. And maybe I'm being unfair, but that's kind of where, I mean, he's had three teams and kind of looked like nothing with all three teams.
Yes. The Broncos gave up all that to go get him and see if they could go for it.
The Steelers were better with Justin Fields.
Right, which lots of calls of why Mike Tomlin started Russell Wilson all year.
I think because he promised it to him. But, yeah, I mean, look, they made the same offer to Fields that the Jets did, but Fields didn't trust him anymore.
Right.
And went to and that's something to trust the Jets over the Steelers, but that's where he was, and I don't blame him.
Yeah,
because they were rolling. What were they, like 5-1?
Yeah, he was playing well.
Yeah,
and then they were just like, Russell's taking over.
Yeah, yay.
Now you're right, Russell Wilson, the Legion of Boom teams that went to the Super Bowl, won
teams.
The Super Bowl. Those were great teams.
Great,
he had Marshawn
rosters.
Lynch to rely on behind him. And he had his moments beyond that after...
No, he made plays.
Right. And honestly, he was in the MVP conversation for the first 6 weeks of pretty much every single season.
Yeah.
And then he would kind of fall off. But yeah, you're right. I think maybe he does fall into that category of...
Who did they have? They had Baldwin, and who was the other receiver?
Javon Kearse was there.
No, they had another star.
Not Javon Kearse.
My brain's not...
Kearse is his last name. I don't know why I'm blanking.
No, but Baldwin was the two. Who was the one?
Why am I blanking on that too?
Okay, but he had big time receivers. All right,
Jermaine Kearse. That's
Jermaine Kearse.
Of,
yeah, sorry, okay. That's who. But he wasn't the one. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, that team was stacked. I mean, the GM did a great job there of reloading that thing with Pete Carroll, and you know, and again, Russ did a lot of things really well, without question. But you've seen him now with substandard teams. He doesn't elevate them.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing with quarterbacks is, do they elevate the team? And it's kind of what I was looking for to save Brian Callahan this year and save the Titans this year, was Cam Ward to elevate the team. And he's, you know, showed a lot of promise as a young player, but he's not elevating the team yet.
Right.
You know, he made, you know, one big touchdown, you know, in week two. He had the fourth down throw this last week. But there needs to be more. There needs to be more of those plays that, you know, give you a chance to win. Now, the one against the Rams gave you a chance to win that football game.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had the ball in his hands a couple times, first couple weeks, with a chance to push his teams forward. And, again, it's not all on him. I'm just saying that the great ones lift things up. And, you know, you want to get to the point where you start seeing him lift up all the ships with him.
Right. And so far, it just hasn't been consistent enough. You're seeing the flashes, but you hope that as the season goes along, he starts to be...
I mean, he's still missing some open stuff.
Right.
And that's, you know, you excuse it now. You say it's going to happen. It's why he's playing now, so to see that.
Doug Baldwin was actually their number one receiver much that whole time.
It was Baldwin and Lockett.
They had Golden Tate at the beginning of that run and Tyler Lockett at the end of it.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yeah, but so he had good targets.
Right.
Baldwin was a really good player. Baldwin and Lockett were really good together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were good.
Well, I did want to start on the Jarvis Brownlee trade.
Yeah.
Because I tweeted it yesterday. Like, the more I think about it, the less it makes sense. If you're looking at pure value for a football player.
Then you're looking at it the wrong way.
And that's what I'm thinking is, this is not a football move. There was something else that was going on.
No, there's no way this is a football move.
Yep.
There's no way this is a football move. Because if it's a football move, you simply hang on to him until you can get value for him. I mean, I don't think the Jets traded for him to sit on the bench.
No.
I mean, he's probably going to go and play some for them. I mean, didn't you tell me before the show that the Patriots also...
Yeah, Jordan Schultz reported that the Patriots called on Jarvis Brownlee too, and I guess their offer wasn't as good as the Jets.
He's probably a 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, look, he has value, and you could have sat on him until you got more for him. My guess is we're going to get the best trade we can, or we're going to release him. That would be my guess as to how this went down.
Yeah.
Because you look at the trades the Titans made for Elijah Molden and Malik Willis last year. All right. Both those guys they got virtually nothing for because they weren't gonna make the cut. Whether you agree with that on both of them is another story.
Yeah.
But that's when you're gonna waive a guy, that's what you get. You get end of the draft. You get an asset, as they call it.
Right.
And that's what they got for Jarvis Brownlee. They got an asset. Now, they got it from a bad team, which is good, because we also said this is a sixth, could be like...
The second pick in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be picking 1-2 in the sixth now.
There you go. And you just won't have your seventh round pick.
You can trade up for the last pick of the fifth.
Yes, you could move up from there and get yourself an extra fifth.
Get back into the fifth.
And guess what? You're right back where you drafted Jarvis Brownlee in the first place.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. The only way this kind of makes sense is if there was something going on. And you're right. Like, this is the exact return you would get if you were about to release him.
Yes.
It's, hey, if you don't want him to go on waivers and risk somebody else getting him before you, give us a pick swap late in the round.
Well, I guarantee you, like you said, the Jordan Schultz report, Borgonzi called the Jets and said, hey, the Patriots are offering me a 7 for him. If you give me a 6th, I'll give you him and a 7, and we'll, you know, done deal. And
yeah.
The Jets were like, sure, sure, yeah, all right.
I mean, in terms of football value, it's a great trade for the Jets. We'll see if he actually...
Which gets... I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Which gets me on another train.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love, you know, the Twitterverse, right? And all the Jets fans are all like, oh my gosh, this is an amazing trade. This is unbelievable. I have an old adage that I live by. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Yep.
And so, look, Jarvis Brownlee could wind up being a Hall of Fame player for the Jets. I don't know. But you have to ask yourself... Why were they willing to give him away? Why were they willing to give him away? All right, there's baggage here. You can be excited about what you're getting. Hey, this guy who's been a starter in this league, he's good against the run, he's physical, he's a dog, he's all that. We are excited about that. What do we have to overcome? What do we have to overcome that they were not willing to overcome?
Right.
Because this is not a perfect scenario. If it was a perfect scenario, somebody else would have traded more for him than this.
Or the Titans wouldn't have traded him at all.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but if this was just like this awesome asset that the Titans were willing to part with, somebody would have said, hey, we'll give you a 5.
Yeah.
Or we'll give you a 4. But when you get something for free, And this is, kiddos, everybody watching, this is everything in life. When something is too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Step back. Ask yourself why, all right? The why is important here. Again, he could wind up wearing a gold jacket one day, but if he does, he clearly has an issue that he has to overcome. You got to figure out what that is.
Yes, and Brian Callahan is going to speak today. I would guess that, you know, you texted me yesterday what you think he's going to say. It's going to be, you know,
one of three things.
Basically, we wish him the best. It wasn't going to work out here. He needed a change of scenery.
We want to look at Trey.
There you go. Yeah, we want to look at some of the guys behind him. So
yeah,
I don't understand exactly what exactly went down with Jarvis Brownlee Jr.
Look, that's and not I don't a know Brian Callahan decision. Will.
Right, that's a Mike Borgonzi, yeah. Chad Brinker decision. And I don't know if they're going to speak on it anytime soon.
They might.
But the Titans just traded away a guy who was a starter for this team.
Yeah.
And now you have another hole on this roster. We'll look at all of the places the Titans now have to fill in. A lot of premium positions where the Titans are going to have to use assets this upcoming offseason. 615-737-1025.
Well, luckily they've got another sixth-round pick to fill them with.
Well, you know, it was a pick swap, so they didn't gain another pick.
No.
But maybe you can get somebody in the sixth that you couldn't have gotten.
Bump it up to a five with a trade.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. We are off and running on this Wednesday. More on the Jarvis Brownlee trade coming up next. Jake Lyman joined by Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by our resident Bears fan, Corey Curtis. Dance into the Super Bowl shuffle. Well done, Parker.
In 1985 in Chicago, that song was number one for probably literally like 2 months straight.
Yeah. I mean,
on top 40 radio. Okay.
I'm surprised it wasn't
I don't
longer.
Doubt it.
It may have been. It was, I mean, they didn't make it until like close to midseason. I mean, they were talking Super Bowl like week six. I mean, they knew they were better than everybody. So that was not a big deal. I'm still really upset about the Monday Night Football loss to Miami, by the way, to this day, because they were so much better than that football team. They should have gone undefeated.
Hey, good week for your Bears this week, though.
Good
Caleb
to see
Williams,
Caleb
four touchdowns.
Yeah. Good for my fantasy team, too.
Yeah.
With Caleb on there.
Joey Sly didn't have quite as good a game as
no,
you've
but
been,
he had opportunities. And when are we going to start changing fantasy rules to 60-yard field goals being worth six?
Right. Yeah, I mean, if they're happening as often as they are,
yeah,
they shouldn't be worth five anymore. But
that gets me to a whole another stupid fantasy football conversation. I don't think kickers should be in it at all, but that's me.
Yeah, I'm not completely against that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on the text line. We're getting your thoughts on the Jarvis Brownlee trade. Lots of Titans fans not happy about it. 7410 says, hate the Brownlee trade. We need to be acquiring young, hard-nosed, tough players, not getting rid of them.
I get that. I do. I get that. But you have to ask yourself as a fan, why would they do that?
Right.
You know, and you don't have to agree with it. You say, well, they should fix whatever happened. Because clearly something happened. This isn't just, hey, we're going to move on from Brownlee. I mean, there was a breaking point with something here.
Yes.
Where the relationship became unmendable. All right. And that's just what you have to come to grips with. Which side you want to blame, that's entirely up to you. But this doesn't just happen on a whim or on a there's nothing strategic about this.
Yeah.
All right. So get that out of the conversation.
Right. There's no way that you can rationalize the value that the Titans got just from a purely football basis. Something clearly was going on, and you look at it, the Titans, yes, you're trying to build a roster, and mm-hmm. that is the most important thing to try to return.
You're 0-3.
But you're trying to build a culture,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's exactly
And it's like you
right.
can't have locker room cancers, which, again, that's speculation, but like if that's what was going on and he was hurting the culture in the locker room, it made sense to get rid of.
Or you know, like he may not have been, but something happened that they send the message, this can't happen.
Yeah.
All right? Because, like, again, whatever happened, it was, like I said, unmendable. And it's something that they said, this can't be around our football team. And we don't know if it was a long-term thing or a short-term thing or a one-time thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. All that matters is it was bad enough for them to say, a sixth for seventh and Jarvis, take him.
Yep.
I mean, get
just
out.
Get him out of
get here. Get out. I mean, here. Well, look, here's his bag. It's like when Taylor Lewan got the black trash bag full of his stuff. Okay? It's like that.
I understand the move based on, like, if they gave him away for that much, then clearly something was going on.
He was going to be released
right,
if there was no
he
trade.
He was not going to be here either
no.
way. It seems that there was something, like you said, unmendable that they could not get past. But it does leave the roster in an interesting spot. And,
well, you know, they're already bad.
Well, no, they are bad, but I thought Paul Kaharsky said something very interesting on Robbie and Rex Road, is that he wrote an article this past offseason saying this can be the last offseason where the Titans say we have too many holes to fill in one offseason.
Yeah.
But you're kind of trending in that direction again because you just traded away one of your starting corners. Is it fair to guess that Legarius Sneed is probably not going to be around next year?
Sure.
At his price, like,
sure.
I think he's probably gone. So you need two starting corners now.
Yep.
Roger McCreary is a free agent, technically.
Yeah, are you bringing him back?
I think you have to at this point, right? Like, unless you want to replace.
Does he want to come back?
Yeah, that's true.
He may just say, I'm out.
You may have to throw some money at him to
pay
the we suck tax.
Well, and if you're going to do that, you need to sign him during the season.
Right, before he has a chance to get to
the open market.
To the open market.
Right. You can say, hey, Roger, you want to take a chance on getting hurt the rest of the way, or do
right.
you want to sign now?
Let's pay you right now. Yeah. That's why when they extended Amani Hooker, I would have thought that money would have been going to Roger McCreary. It's like you do have a replacement in waiting for Amani Hooker if you wanted to let him walk.
Well, but you've got Kevin Winston to start alongside him. So, I mean, that's you know, you've got him for 4 years on that deal. So that's what they're looking at. You know, we've got this much slated
right.
at safety. We're good here. And you've also got Cam under a rookie deal for the next 4 years. So you're good there. You're not
that's
gonna,
true.
You're going to be saving $50 million a year at quarterback right now.
Yeah, and I do believe I saw the Titans, as of now, are slated to have the most cap space in the league.
And it could get higher, like you're talking about. I mean,
yes. I mean, there may be more trades coming. But
we
talk about you've got at least two cornerbacks that you need to go get.
Yeah.
You need a number one edge rusher.
You need two edges. You need two.
You hope that Femi can end up being.
But you can't just have two. You need at least
three. You probably need a veteran addition and a young high draft pick at edge. So sure, let's say two. So you need two corners. You need two edge rushers.
Yep.
Defense, I think you can get away with what you've got at defensive tackle.
Do you need a guard, or is Jackson Slater the guard?
Let's say Jackson Slater's the guard because you have too many other holes to fill.
Okay, but you still need depth.
Yeah.
You could still draft a tackle.
Yeah, you need offensive line depth. I think maybe a fourth or a fifth round tackle.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Backup swing tackle we can add as a whole. Mm. You need a number one wide receiver because Calvin Ridley's clearly not going to be that.
No.
And you probably need a running back because I don't know if Tony Pollard's going to be back next year. I don't know if Tajay Spears is going to be back and healthy next year.
You can find running backs. I'm not about wasting draft capital on a running back.
That's fine, but you still look at how many draft picks you have.
Yeah.
And, you have cap space, but those are big holes that you need to fill at a lot of different spots.
Not a bad time to be picking first.
Yeah, that's true. That is the simplest way to figure this out.
And it's not because you're going to draft the best player.
You trade back.
Because you're going to trade back and get picks.
And
it's an old story of how teams get better. All right. The Houston Texans unloaded for picks. The Cubs unloaded for picks. And I know this is baseball, but now to the NFL, Houston Texans, they were god awful. But what did they do? They loaded up for picks and then they got good. They drafted CJ Stroud and Will Anderson in the same year. And all of a sudden they're winning games. So
easiest way to make a turnaround is get as many picks as you can towards the top of the draft.
Well, the biggest way is get a quarterback.
Right.
The second way is to get picks.
Well, and you feel like you have the quarterback.
Yes. And so that's what I'm saying. So now you were like, hey, whatever anyone wants to give us, we're definitely trading out of this spot.
And you look back at what the Titans did when they were really bad in 2015.
Yep.
They drafted a quarterback in 15. They got the number one pick in 16,
and they
traded back and loaded up that roster.
Yep.
And they didn't have another losing season until 2022.
Yep.
So, and that year they were 7-3 to start the year. So that is what you need to do, is you need to have a high pick and you need to trade out of it.
Well, that plan is working beautifully right now, Jake.
It is.
I mean, they are screaming towards that one.
But here's an even better way to get more picks and improve your chances at getting a high pick that you can trade out of? Fire sale. And we'll talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Could the Jarvis Brownlee trade just be the start of what the Titans might do ahead of the trade deadline coming up in just over a month? We'll get into it next. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live from 3 to 6 p.m. at Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse this Friday as they celebrate the opening of their all-new rooftop dining area and bar. It's also a great place to go before or after Vanderbilt games. We will talk about other trade candidates for the Titans. How much do we think the Titans are going to sell off ahead of next of November's trade deadline? We'll get into it next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Busy day around the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Brian Callahan gives up play calling. Bo Hardigree will be calling plays starting this Sunday in Houston. We'll get into that coming up in the second hour of the show. But the big news yesterday was Jarvis Brownlee Jr., Titans starting cornerback, traded to the New York Jets for a late-round pick swap. Basically gave him away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if this is the start of the fire sale for the Titans. I think this is more of an isolated occurrence of, you know, they had to get rid of this guy. But I do wonder if in the next month, if they continue to lose, which seems likely, that some of these veteran players are going to be made available. Because as we were talking about, the easiest way to get better is acquire picks.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to do that is be first overall. Here's a way to do both of those things. You acquire some picks for your veteran players.
Yep.
Keep getting worse. End up with a higher draft pick that then you can trade out of and get even more picks.
But you don't give picks away. All right, you don't just to get picks, you don't get picks away. Like when they traded away Kevin Byard, what did they get? Like a, was it a 5 and a 7?
Yeah, something like that.
And I understood, I had it explained to me why. And
5th and a 6th.
5th and a 6th, and I still don't love the trade. I mean, they got Jarvis Brownlee in that trade.
They did. Yes. So there you go. There's the final deal for Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard for 2 6ths, the 7th, and a year and a half of Jarvis Brownlee.
So I guess my bottom line is if you're going to do fire sale, number one, ask yourself, can this player still help us when we're good?
Yep.
Number one. You know, number two, is the return really worth it? I mean, And like I know that you can get good players in the 5th, 6th, and 7th. They happen. But is it really worth it to give guys away? Now, it might be worth it to get their numbers off the books, but numbers aren't the problem for you right now.
No.
You got tons of cap space. Tons of cap space. And I also get it because you're like, hey, we think this kid's the future. We want him to play instead of this guy. So we're going to let him move on. So I think there are a lot of reasons to not do it as well. But the number one question, Jake, you got to ask yourself in this whole scenario, you remember, did you ever see Office Space?
Yes.
You remember, like, is this good for the company?
Yeah.
So this is kind of like, what's the one question the Titans have to ask themselves with every move they make?
Is this good for the quarterback?
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Is this good for Cam Ward? Is this good for Cam Ward? You know, is trading away this guy going to help Cam Ward? And if not, then it's not something we need to do. And I know which player you're going to start with. You're going to start with Jeffrey Simmons.
I was between two.
You know, Jeffrey Simmons is still a good player, and he certainly can probably get you some assets. I don't think he can get you the assets that fans think. Like, fans will automatically assume, oh, we'll get a one for him. You're not. You're not going to get a one for him. You're not.
It's possible if you get someone desperate enough.
No one is going to give up a one for an aging defensive lineman.
He's only 29. Like, it's not. I think you could.
Okay, what's the number after 29?
30. But
okay, what's
look at
considered?
What Chris Jones is doing right now.
Okay, Chris Jones is a freaking unicorn, dude.
Simmons is playing at a. You look at the metrics for Jeffrey Simmons this year.
Okay.
He is playing at a Pro Bowl level.
Yeah, he's great.
I think a one is a stretch. I think you'd hope for a two, but
okay.
Jerry Jones said that he would give away one of his ones for a special player. Maybe he thinks Jeffrey Simmons is special.
Maybe, but again, is Jeffrey Simmons the difference between the Cowboys being good or bad? The Cowboys are bad. And Jeffrey Simmons isn't going to make them good, okay? They just gave up 38 to the Bears.
Jerry Jones is a guy you could take advantage of. I know this is a very specific instance, but the one I'm really looking at is Calvin Ridley. Like,
yeah. I mean, and you're not getting a one, okay?
No, you're not getting a one. I think you hope for a three, and I think you're likely taking a four or five for Calvin Ridley.
Yes.
But
I need an aging receiver who's overpaid and can't catch the football. Anybody got one of those?
Call Nashville.
Yeah.
615.
That was really mean-spirited, but I'm just saying it from the aspect of another GM.
Right.
All right? He's over 30, right?
He's 32.
32.
Or he'll be 32 next year.
Okay, so he's over 30. He's having troubles catching the football, and he makes over $20 million a year. And you want me to give you what for him?
Yeah, you're probably only getting a fourth or a fifth for Calvin Ridley.
Yes.
And
because I'm again, I think put yourself on the other side of the table. And again, it's not like you're going to have three teams fighting it out.
No. I think you could get a couple of these contending look at the Chiefs. Like the Chiefs need a wide receiver.
They took Hop.
You got, a fifth last year for DeAndre Hopkins?
And that's exactly
Calvin
where...
Calvin Ridley's a little bit younger, but he's been less productive than DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, one guy's arguably a Hall of Famer.
Right, but how old is DeAndre Hopkins? He's like 34?
Yeah. I mean, his best years are behind him. He's done. And he was done when the Chiefs traded for him.
Yeah, he's 33. So he's 2 years older than Calvin Ridley. So, yeah, I get what you're saying.
So, again, fire sale, yay, we're getting picks. You're talking about a fifth.
Simmons is the only one who could get you a top 100 pick.
Yes, I would say you could get a top 100 pick. You could get a two or a three. You know, you might be able to hey, we'll give you Jeffrey and a fifth for a third or a second or something. I don't know. But I don't think you're getting the straight up one or two that you think you're getting.
Yeah, I think if you...
Because they've also got to take on a salary.
Yes, but I think... Simmons, you might have more suitors for, and there's a chance at the deadline you could get somebody somebody who is a contender who knows that their first round pick is going to be in the late 20s or 30s.
Sure.
They might say, you know what, we'll do it. This puts us over the top.
Okay.
But I agree that a second is probably the most likely.
Could you imagine Jeff going to the Chargers? I mean, they were good.
Yeah.
And you put him on that line?
Hey, look at 49ers just lost Nick Bosa.
Yeah, he's an end, but
you need somebody over there, and they're 3-0.
Yeah,
so
you trade them to the NFC that way,
right?
Yeah,
maybe that's a place they look.
Or wait a minute, you could trade them to the Eagles because that's where the Titans trade everybody.
Let's just do that, and then
Howie Roseman can laugh and send him a sixth. Here you go.
Here's a six for Jeffrey Simmons, and the Titans can use that to draft another defensive tackle who will never actually see the field.
Yeah.
Brian says they'd be lucky to get a second for Simmons. I think you could get a second easy for Simmons.
See, I agree with Brian. I think you'd be lucky.
The executives and coaches poll for ESPN had him as the fourth best defensive lineman in the league.
But you're looking at it the wrong way. You're just looking at it for how good he is now. All right? They also have to take on his salary. You've got there is a compensation that goes with we are taking this off your payroll, all right, and also he is going to be 30, so I'm not paying you for the player that you were. I'm paying you for the player that you are and are going to be. Okay, he's playing very well. The expectation has to be it starts to go down.
He's only 28 though. Like
I thought you got 29.
You've got him. No, sorry. I was looking at the 2026 cap. So he's 28. Okay. He'll be 29 next year. He's 30 in the final year of his contract.
Okay.
So you're getting you get the guy under contract for 3 years.
I will say all right, a second, but you're going to give up Jeffrey and probably a late pick.
Okay. I could get you behind up, that.
You got a sixth. You got an extra sixth.
Yeah, there you go. Let's send the Brownlee sixth and we'll get a second. Back for Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, are you confident you're going to find another Jeffrey Simmons in the second round of the draft?
No, but I think the question is, like you asked, are you confident that Jeffrey Simmons is going to be around to help you when this team gets good again?
Well, I mean, you like to think you can be good in 2 years. You like to think that.
That's the hope. But we're going through all these holes, and it's like, can they continue to fill it?
In the NFL, it changes in a hurry.
Right.
Look at the Texans, who've changed back, and look at the Commanders, who, it's just, boom.
Yeah. I mean, if they can get the right coach in here, which it doesn't seem like Brian Callahan is that guy, but he's still here for now, and you can hit on a couple of draft picks. Like, obviously, you have to hit on your first and your second and your third, but if you could get a couple of contributors, if Gunnar Helm ends up being your starting tight end, you could turn it around.
They don't need contributors. They need players. They need dudes. They need guys who come in and you know who they are coming off the bus and saying, this is going to be a long. Like, Jeffrey Simmons gets off the bus and the other team says, that guy is going to be a long day. I need the ice bag when this one's over. All right. They need more of that. Yes, they need more depth and they need more guys, but they need cornerstone pieces.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you needed. You need Latham to be. You need him to be a cornerstone piece for this team. You need him to be just this mountain on the end of the line that just says, the line stops here. Anything that touches me is going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, they need those type of players.
That is the issue with the Titans right now. I agree with you, is that there's not a lot of guys when you open up the scouting report that you circle.
Yes.
Like 98. Yes. You circle 98 on defense.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
You circle 20, you go, hey, he's a nice player.
Right.
Let's not let him get going.
Right. You can't let him,
you know,
go for 150 yards.
77's pretty good on the offensive line, so we're going to focus over here on the other
side. Go over the right side.
Or we're going to isolate the tackle on the edge. You know, but, you know, outside of 98, there's not a lot of, whoa, Nelly. And now you're talking about trading that guy. That's the only point I made.
It becomes a question of, do you think he is going to, first off, want to be here? And will he be the player that you need him to be when this team is good again? And that's something that the front office has to decide based on the timeline for what they're looking for from this team moving forward. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line wanting to chime in. Trey, good morning. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I think that, you know, as far as Brian Callahan getting demoted and giving the play sheet to, you know, the quarterback's coach, I think this could be a vindication moment for Brian Callahan or a flop moment for Cam Ward. You know, and my thing of it is that everybody's talking about fundamentals. The coach get up there talking about fundamentals and all that. I'm thinking, okay, you're a professional football player, sir. You should have basic fundamentals already ingrained in you. There is no reason why you're getting sacked five times a game. There is no reason why your head is down running back there like a chicken, you know. And then Kevin Ridley, he can't catch the ball when the ball gets to him. But they already knew when he was in Jacksonville that he, you know, don't catch the ball that good. So I just think this is going to be an eye-opener for Titans fans about Cam Ward. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Trey. Trey does not like Cam Ward very much. I've gathered that from most of his calls. I mean, I agree with him about the fundamentals. Cam Ward's footwork has not been great. And we saw it get him in trouble.
We knew that when they drafted him.
Right. But it got him in trouble on Sunday. The pick six, I mean, the pick six, first off, was a horrible decision. He didn't seek anymore. But you also watch his feet are pointed straight towards the goalpost, and he just turns the shoulders and flicks it out there.
Yep.
Kenny Moore could have walked over there, grabbed it, and walked into the end zone.
You know, there's certain stuff guys get away with their entire life because they can. All right? Like Vince Young, he didn't have to I don't want to say he didn't have to work hard. He didn't have to put in the homework time. He didn't have to study defenses. He didn't in college. I mean, he could do whatever he wanted to in college and in high school, of course.
Yeah.
But you get to the NFL, and then he gets to the NFL, and he has some of that same success his rookie year. And then defense has figured out,
yeah,
that's how we're going to play him. And he didn't put in the work to get past that. I don't think that that's Cam Ward, all right? Cam Ward has a lot that he was able to get away with because of superior arm strength, you know, superior, you know, just ability, you know. And so he was able to get away with some of that stuff. He's finding out what he can and can't get away with right now. We're three games in. If he's still doing it a year from now, it's a problem.
Right.
You know, you'd like to see it develop as the season goes along. Because, yeah, I mean, you may think, oh, I can make that throw. I've done this before. It's a different league. It's faster. It's smarter. I mean, they just are. There's no room to – they keep changing the rules for the offense for a reason, because it's really hard to score in this league.
Yes.
It just is. And so he's going to have to learn that, I think. And I think, you know, without question, you're absolutely right. I like, the only thing that can vindicate Brian Callahan is winning football games. That's it. But Cam does have stuff to work on, as we talked about. I mean, and he's missed some open targets.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed Chigakonkwo. I mean, could he have caught that ball? That was a really tough catch, and he's wide open.
It was catchable, but definitely more on Cam Ward than it was on Chig, for sure.
Look, if he makes that catch, he is 110% laid out and sliding. It was cooking, and it was high.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's wide open. Just put a little touch on it, and it might be 6 points. And again, am I being critical? Sure, I'm sure. But, you know, he's the first pick of the draft, and does he learn from that throw? We've seen other quarterbacks, Brett Favre, John Elway, Jay Cutler, who've had to develop touch over the course of their career, knowing when they got to take a little bit off the football. And that's something that Cam is going to have to learn. I mean, he obviously took something off of that throw to Tony Pollard.
He made sure Kenny Moore had that one hit him nice and soft in the hands.
But, yeah, I mean, look, you just have to step in the bear trap a few times. And you're either going to know, you're going to find out fast. Either he's going to learn or he isn't.
Yeah, we saw it with Cam Ward, the preseason game against Tampa, where he didn't get the throwaway out of bounds. He didn't get hurt on that. Then he did it in the joint practice with Atlanta. He got hurt on it, and guess what? It hasn't been an issue since. So
no, he can still. He could have gotten rid of the ball on a few of those plays on Sunday. Yeah. Not all those. I thought his protection was not terrible.
It was better than it had been.
And
low bar,
so,
but yes.
I did not look at, what did he get sacked, four times?
Yes.
It's
gone 6-5-4.
But
we're trending in the right direction.
Did you look at that protection as a four sack performance?
No. There wasn't nearly as many plays where I'm like, man, Cam had zero time
chance.
Back then.
Yeah, like in Denver, you're like, man, he had no chance.
Yep.
He had no chance. You know, I thought that he needed to get rid of the ball, you know, when they were in field goal range.
Right.
And I got a lot of pushback on it. But even they were like, nope, even then, once you feel the pressure, it's got to go into the stands. And you're seeing more of that from him. But, I mean, it goes against everything he's done for years.
Yeah.
Years.
He's been able to be Superman and have to worry about
since
it.
Since he was 5 years old, right? I mean, that's how long he's been playing the position. And he's having to learn things now. And again, these guys on defense are really good.
Yes, they are.
They're really, really good. And the Titans have seen two of them, all right, in the Rams and the Broncos. And they scored 20 against the Colts.
They did.
By the way, so the Titans are 28th in scoring. The Texans are 32nd.
Yep, they're scoring, 13 points a game?
12.7.
Yeah, something like that.
12.7.
Yeah.
Who have they played?
They played the Rams, the Jags.
And it's Jags.
And who'd they lose to in week two? I don't know why I can't remember who they played in week two.
It was the Bucks.
Right, it was the Monday Night Football game against the Bucks. Yes.
Bucks, yeah.
So, yes. Those aren't horrible defenses, but...
12.7.
12.7 is pretty
good. Now, they are averaging a lot more yards. And again, I don't expect them to have the same problems with the Titans that they had with those teams, because the Titans can't rush the passer.
Yeah.
And when does C.J. Stroud run into trouble? When the heat's on, he'll turn the football over.
Right.
They're not going to get any heat on him. C.J. Stroud's going to have a perfectly fine day.
Yeah. It's the offensive line for the Texans has been horrible. It is the...
Oh, it's bad.
Movable object meets stoppable force on Sunday between the Titans.
Chairs on the Titanic.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your phones coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday here on Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 for the full show today. Parker Kelly wrapping up hour number one. Let's get back to your phones, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's start with Gorilla on the line. Gorilla, thanks for waiting. What you got for us this morning?
Yeah, man. I mean, I tuned into you guys, man, and it sounded like you had a bash Cam Ward hour going on, man. And for that boy Trey, man, you know, I believe dude just got a little underlying hate for Cam Ward. I think the Cam Ward, somebody looked like Cam Ward must have took his girlfriend from him and beat him up when he was a kid. Because, again, I'm a firm believer that Cam is the only bright spot on offense
sure.
that he has. I mean, the baked-in issues that came along with being a Tennessee Titans quarterback haven't went anywhere. The offensive line, receivers not catching the ball. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then to just key in on the pass that he threw to Chig. I mean, look at all the drops that Chig has dropped. It was right at his hands.
NFL
players are supposed to make these types of plays.
That was and a very tough play. My only point was, if he has that to throw it over again, he will throw it a little bit differently. He will learn from it.
And of course he will. But yeah, look at
that's my point.
Drops.
I agree with you. Oh, hey, you don't have to argue the drops with us. The receiving core is not good enough.
Yep.
Calvin Ridley has completely let him down, without question. I mean, there's a reason everybody's excited about Elik Iemanjer, because he catches the football. I mean, that's it. That's it. I'm sorry to interrupt
you. Check this out, Corey. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's coaching malpractice to have Restrepo sitting on the practice squad? I mean, just even try the kid. Let's see what just the chemistry between those two could garner us. Do you think that's – I don't think no coach with any kind of sense would make that move. They would – because, I mean, what do you have?
Well, okay, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question, okay?
Yeah.
And I think we're all intrigued by Restrepo, without question, but he's on the practice squad. What does that mean?
It
means that all 31 other teams can sign him to their active roster whenever they want, and none of them have done it.
Yeah, but now look at it from this standpoint here. What you have is you have an ingredient between him and his head, his quarterback.
Sure.
That's already naturally there. Whereas if you put him with Joe Burrow, if you put him with Allen, if you put him with anybody else, you just have another guy out there. We're looking for somebody that can just get open. I mean, I've heard a lot of individuals, and I'm going to be real short on this, but I've heard a lot of individuals say, let's try to utilize the short passing game for an inept running game. And I think that he would fit that. I just think X's and O's, it just makes all the sense. Man, I love you guys, man. I love the show. And Trey, I don't know, man. You need a hug or something, guy. You dogging the wrong person, guy.
Thanks for the call.
You dogging the wrong guy.
I agree from what he has to say about the short passing game, because you know what I've said on first down, Cam needs to embrace the short throw on first down. And he did a little bit more of that on Sunday. You saw a little bit more stuff to Tyler Lockett. And that's really what you're talking about replacing. You're talking about letting Restrepo play for Tyler Lockett, right?
Yeah.
And if you're going to throw him those short passes, which one is more built to catch those balls? It's Restrepo.
Yeah.
Now, Restrepo, again, you can't get past the fact that he ran a 4.8. Nothing changes that. And look, if the Titans continue down the path they're on, he's going to get his shot.
Yeah. No, I think there is a point where you call up Restrepo. I don't think you're at that point quite yet. And honestly, if I'm going to get a young receiver more involved in the passing game, I want it to be Chimdike.
Yeah.
Like, you spent an early fourth-round pick on that guy.
He runs a 4.3.
Right. Like, let's get him more involved. Elik Iemanjer already is involved.
Yep.
Let's get Chimdike some more looks.
Well, and I'd like to see them get Chimdike the ball past the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, just screen passes and jet sweeps.
Yeah, I mean, everything that he's doing is within 1 to 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. And I get what they're trying to do there, but you've also seen in the return game, when he's in the open field, he makes people miss, and he outruns them. And so, you know, maybe try to work some things where you get him open in the middle of the field and see what he can do with the ball in his hands. And, like, I'm not sitting here saying cut Tyler Lockett this and he's washed and all that, but he is where he is in his career.
Yeah.
He's got a one-year deal. You're 0-3. Put 17 out there.
Yes, let's get it to the guys who are going to grow instead of not be on the team next year. Let's quickly go to Adam in Portland on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Well, it's just that here's the difference. I understand you guys have to dismiss your strepo because that's what people do. But you got to understand, Cam Ward throws a different football than most people. And why do you have to tell a guy who take his special thing away from him? Cam, you have to fix this because Calvin Ridley's dropped 80 balls in the first three games. So take something off of it. No, there's a dude in there who runs a 10-second 40. We get it. He can catch that ball. So put him out there and let him run 10 yards. Like, I don't – Dude, I'm so ticked off of it because this is another bad decision. And this is another – this is Bobby Pellett, if you've ever seen Horrible Bosses. That's what Brian Callahan is. He is an underqualified son of some dude who should not be there making bad decisions. Another bad decision. Leaving that guy on the practice squad is another bad decision. So I don't. You're not going to convince me otherwise, dude. Bad head coach and Restrepo should be brought up.
So we should – like any team that drafts a quarterback should bring that quarterback's favorite receiver from that school – with him, and that guy should automatically just play.
That's not what I'm saying, Corey. What I'm saying is that if you're already seeing this amount of drops and you have a solution, why not try the solution?
Well, you don't know that he's a solution. He would be an attempted solution. He hasn't proved anything at this level. Yeah, if you just want to say it can't be worse, give it a shot. You're not wrong.
Right.
You're not wrong. He hasn't dropped a pass yet. Unlike Calvin, who dropped about five of them. So you're not wrong.
Don't make Cam change himself, Corey. That's my big point. Is why make Cam change who he is, which is the next step, is to go, hey, you're doing something wrong, Cam. You're already hearing it. It's like, oh, Cam, he must have changed this and this. No, he doesn't have to. Just try this other guy.
Aaron Rodgers completely changed the way he threw the football when he got to the NFL. They all have work to do, and they all have things to learn at this level. Nobody is saying Cam Ward needs to completely change the way he plays. There's things he has to experience, okay, to know I can't get away with this in the NFL like I did in college. We're just talking about, like, his footwork. Steve McNair, whenever he struggled, the first thing he did was get with his quarterback coach Craig Johnson and says, what's wrong with my feet? And believe me, Steve McNair's feet weren't great coming out of college. They didn't work footwork heavily at Alcorn State, all right? So we're not talking about changing him. We're talking about making him the best version of Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that, man, but look, the last thing, I promise I'll let you go.
You're fine.
I don't trust Brian Callahan to make that decision.
And that is fair. That is fair.
Appreciate
he's 3-17. That is fair.
No, I don't completely disagree with what Adam's saying, but like, even if you call Restrepo up, Cam Ward's going to have to throw to other people too.
What did
like,
he do in the preseason?
Right, against third stringers.
Yeah, and I know they're going to say, well, he didn't have Cam Ward thrown to the football.
Right.
Opens open, not opens, not open.
There will be a time this season where he's going to get his shot, like you said.
Yes.
That time.
Because Mason Kinsey's gotten that shot for 6 years.
Right.
So you better believe Restrepo's going to get it.
That time is not now for Xavier Restrepo. 615-737-1025. We see you waiting on the phone lines. We will get to you coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.